Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome once again on a beautiful sunny day. Amen. We're getting more than a taste of sunshine for today. But thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Voice of Joy, Pastor Yolanda on Blog Talk Radio. Now, this is Bible reading time. We're doing a little study of the entire Bible in 30 days. Amen. And we're going to go along, and we were in the Old Testament last week. Then today we're going to touch on the New Testament. Amen. Amen. Going through the books of the Bible. Amen. And it's been a joy to me, and I hope you're getting something out of this and getting a better understanding of where the preacher's coming from when he's preaching and the teacher's coming from when she's teaching, and knowing that that book in your hand that you're holding called the Bible is holding some powerful information and guidelines in your life. Bow your heads in prayer with me. We'll have a song and immediately go into the study of the Word of God. Amen. We're not reading Scripture through. We're kind of exploring the Scriptures, exploring the books in the Bible so that we'll have an understanding of what they are and what they mean to each and every one of you and me. Bow your heads in prayer with me. Thank you. Heavenly Father, most gracious Lord, in your holy name we pray. Thank you so much for letting us share in the Word of God and understanding what you have for us in our lives. Touch us, each and every one, as we explore, hallelujah, with revelation knowledge of what you have for us. Bless us that we may grow and that we may be an inspiration to others that are around us as we go from day to day. Bless this broadcast, hallelujah. Bless this broadcast, Lord Jesus. Let everything that's done on us be surrounded with a hedge by you, that it will go forth to spread the gospel, that somebody will hear, understand, and be saved, and believe in you with all their hearts and soul. In Jesus' name we do pray. Somebody say amen, and somebody say amen again. Amen. We're not going to touch on birthdays, the sick and shut-in today, because I'm trusting that you're praying for these issues each and every day of your life. Amen. Don't just wait till Saturday when you're with me. Don't just wait till Sunday when you go to church. Don't just wait till you run into the person, but be in prayer always. Amen. Every step that you take, let it be a step of prayer for somebody that's standing in the need of prayer. Let's have a song, and then we'll go immediately into continuing with the understanding of the Bible and the knowledge that we need in 30 days. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Praise God. Let's have a song. Amen. Get your pens and papers and pencils and be ready to go into action for the Lord. Amen. That grace of peace Grace of God, we go from day to day. Amen. Got your pens and your paper and your pencil? We're going to open up and we're going to begin to review some of the things that we've gone over. Amen. And continue on with the study of the Word of God. Amen. Just to review, so that when we read the Scripture, we'll understand exactly what we're reading, understand exactly what we're talking about in the Word of God. Amen. Sorry about that. Amen. We went through all the Old Testament books and the geography that lies within those books. And we talked about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Those are the historical books of the Bible. Today we're going to talk about the political books, the poetic books, poetic books, the Old Testament. Amen. Three kinds of books in the Old Testament. Historical, the poetic books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and the Song of Solomon. Those are poetry. Books of poetry. Amen. I'm kind of leaning between Job and the prophecy, the books of prophecy. Amen. I would split Job between the two myself, but it is a book of poetry. Amen. In the Old Testament. And the books of prophecy will be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Book of Prophecy, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Those are books of prophecy. Today we're going to talk today about the books of poetry. Amen. And where we review the history that we have come to. Amen. And we talked a lot about that. So just understand and keep in mind, if nothing else, that those are historical moments in the Bible. Amen. The historical books are completed. And now we're going to talk about the books of poetry of the people of Israel. And that begins with the poetic books. The middle five books found in your Bible in the Old Testament. Amen. And they're found in the timeline constructed by the historical books. Amen. History leads to the poetic books of Job. Job was written during the time of events of the book of Genesis. Psalms, during the life of David. How they tie back in with 1 and 2 Kings. David. Amen. 2 Samuel. That's tied back in with the historical books of 1 and 2 Kings. And Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, they were written during the lifetime of Solomon, in the time covered in 1 Kings. Okay? So do we get a picture now? That even though those are historical books, they tie in, the poetic books tie in with the life of Solomon, Job, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastics, but each one has a method of tying in. Amen. With your pens and your papers. Amen. Let's talk about six of the most common forms of parallels. And we learned in school that the synonyms, parallels, these are the ideas presented. They're similar. Okay? And so forth and so on. I want to start with the figures of speech. Okay? Hebrew poets wanted mental pictures to pop into the reader's mind. And a prime consideration was creating visual aids, visual images. And those visual images were vivid figures of speech. Amen. Similar, a comparison between two unlike things. Keep me in the apple of your eye. Psalm 17 and 8. Metaphors, a comparison in which one thing is said to be another. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23 and 1. Just giving an idea of why things are written. Okay, Psalm 6 and 6. Every night I make my bed swim. Hyperbole. Deliberate overstatement for the sake of emphasis. And also in Psalm 6 and 6, I dissolve my couch with my tears. Amen. Just giving emphasis to what's being said in the Bible. Rhetorical questions, asking a question for the purpose of making a statement. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord? That's found in Psalms 106 and 7. Amen. Powerful statements. Amen. Rhetorical questions. Personification. Assigning the characteristics of a human to lifeless objects. Psalms 104:19. You read that the sun knows the place of its setting. Okay. Let's talk just a little bit about figures of speech in the Bible. Let's move on. Okay. Let's look at the book of Job. Amen. And you can put it your top title, Job, Suffering and God's Sovereign. God is sovereign. Amen. That's a characteristic of God. Amen. The five poetic books in the Bible we're going to talk about now, which will be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Job is a very wealthy, godly man whose fortunes he's rich. And suddenly and dramatically, all of his wealth reverses. He loses his health, his wealth, and his family, and is plunged into a profound suffering. Just picture that for a minute. Amen. The book presents in dramatic poetry the internal struggles of Job and a series of debates with his three friends, trying to gain a proper perspective on why Job's suffering and why God's letting him suffer. And in the end, God reveals to Job majestic power through Job's questions. His questions are never answered. He willingly submits to the sovereign of God, and his fortunes are restored, and Job gets double for his trouble. Now just picture Job. We're talking about the book of Job. That's what that's about in the book of Job. No matter how it's dramatized or taught or read, read the book of Job and then understand the total picture of Job, total picture of Psalms. Psalms means praise, public worship. It's a book of praise. And the book of Psalms is a collection of 150 Psalms divided into five small books. And the Psalms are used as a book of prayer and praise and public worship. Amen. You can even use Psalms in your prayer. Praise, thanksgiving, even when you're sorrowful. King David writes almost half of the Psalms, while seven different authors complete the rest. Proverbs, moving right along, gives skill in living. I always tell people when you're first beginning to read the Bible, read the book of Proverbs and teach from there. The purpose of Proverbs is to impart wisdom in your life, skill for living. More specifically, Proverbs highlights the practical wisdom, discernment, self-discipline, and moral courage. Amen. The instructional poetry written in short form, focusing on one's relationship with God and with others. It talks about money, it talks about morals, it talks about speech, industry, honesty. Anything you have going on in life, you will find your solution to that problem in the book of Proverbs. It has the message, and the message is that life of wisdom and righteousness should preempt a life of foolishness and unrighteousness. Amen. If you notice, when you read the book of Proverbs, it'll tell you something and then totally turn around and go and give you direction of how to go. Amen. Amen. What to do. What to say. Amen. 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 It gives you the problem and then answers with the solution. The book of Ecclesiastes is moving right along. Solomon, with his unlimited resources and all of his opportunity, tries hard to find meaning in life through industry. He tries to find meaning in life just like the rest of us, through pleasure, through wealth, through wisdom. He tries to find it through power. But he finds all of these are unsatisfying. And after he looks at these efforts of his, and his folly of temporal pursuit, he concludes in this instructional poetry that there is only one thing that can satisfy man, the fear of God. For he says, fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, no matter what you do or where you go, the book of Ecclesiastes will help you in learning how to satisfy God and his commandments. We go to the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon. Amen. Song of Solomon is God's marriage manual. And this dramatic poetry pictures the intimate love relationship between Solomon and all of his Shumanite brides. Solomon did not have the sound wisdom and the righteousness and soon lost the kingdom. But that is a book of God's marriage between man and woman. Poetry. It's poetry. Amen. Now let's look at the prophetic books in the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Amen. I think everybody knows Malachi because all the time you go to church, it's the first thing that they bring up to you. Amen. Should a man pay tithes? Amen. Amen. Be sure to listen to the revelation of God and the voice of God for the instructions for you in your life. Amen. Amen. What is prophecy? Prophecy is proclaiming the word of God both for the future and for the present. Amen. There are four main features in the prophetic writings: designation, the time, the foretelling, and the forthtelling. I find that a lot more in Isaiah than any other book that I've read. I think I just have a liking more for the book of Isaiah because it is, to me, almost like poetry, and yet it is the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. In recent history, the prophetical books have two designations. They're major prophets and minor prophets. It doesn't mean that one is greater than the other. It means that one has shorter books than the other. The major prophets are the first five prophetic books in the Bible: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Now, the minor prophets, with smaller writings, not shorter or less than the major prophets, but they simply have shorter books. So the minor prophets are the remaining 12. Okay? While the major prophets are called major because they are longer books. Do we get an understanding of that? They're not more important. The books are just longer. While the others are called minor because they are shorter writings than the major prophets. Let's talk about the time period, the exile, the pre-exile, the post-exile. The prophetic books are divided into three chronological periods: pre-exile, exile, and post-exile. Most of the prophetical ministries and books occur before the exile. Three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, prophesy during the return of those who, that's correct. Okay, we're talking about the pre-exile, exile, and the post-exile. Someone was trying to take notes on those, understanding the pre-exile, the exile, and the post-exile. And we talked about that in the Old Testament scripture. Amen. The prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi prophesied during the return. So if it's during the return, amen, of those who prophesied before the exile, amen, Isaiah would prophesy before the exile, before the coming. Two prophecy primary to Israel, the northern kingdom, seven primarily to Judah, the southern kingdom, and three to other countries as seen in this list. Let's look at the pre-exile to Israel, Hosea and Amos. To Judah, Habakkuk, Isaiah, Jeremiah, amen, Joel, Micah, Zephaniah, and Lamentations. To Assyria, those prophecies were going out to Assyria from Jonah and Nahum. You have an understanding of that? To Edom, that would be Obadiah prophesying to Edom. Okay, Hosea prophesying to Israel. Amos prophesying to Israel. Habakkuk prophesying to Judah. Isaiah prophesying to Judah. Jeremiah to Judah. Joel to Judah. Micah to Judah. Zephaniah prophesying to Judah. Lamentations directed to Judah. Amen. Lamenting. Jonah prophesying to Assyria. Nahum to Assyria. Obadiah to Edom. Okay. We have the pre-exile, the exile, and the post-exile. Amen. The foretelling. Go back a little bit. Question is, who did Ezekiel and Daniel prophesy? That was from the exile. Ezekiel's coming from Babylon after being captured. Daniel from Babylonians after being captured by the Babylonians. The post-exile, Haggai to Jerusalem. Excuse me. Can you keep up? Amen. Zechariah to Jerusalem. Malachi to Jerusalem. The most famous characteristics of a prophet is that he can personally predict the future. This is not an ability inherited within himself. Whether this information is given to him by God. Okay. In Israel, the test of a true prophet is that he must be 100% accurate. If a prophet, man, ever says anything that does not come true, he is not a prophet of God. And the penalty for giving a prophecy that does not come true is death. By stoning in the Bible. This keeps the ranks of the prophets pure. Amen. So people need to be careful of what they're saying when they said, you can believe, you can hope, you can wish, but when you hear from God and that warning comes forth out of the mouth of a prophet, that prophecy has nothing to do with that man. God is using that vessel to speak his prophecy. Foretelling, proclaiming the teaching of God. Let's talk a little bit about that. While the ministry of foretelling, telling the future, is more dramatic, the ministry of foretelling is vastly more common in the life of the prophet. Foretelling means simply proclaiming. Amen. Proclaiming. There's a difference in proclaiming and predicting. Amen. The weatherman can proclaim the weather. But Noah was prophesying, predicting the future out of the mouth of God of what was coming to pass. See the difference? Foretelling means simply proclaiming the teaching of God to the people. Primarily, it relates to righteous living. There are three characteristics of this part of a prophet's ministry: exposing sin and calling people to a higher moral lifestyle, warning of judgment if the people don't reform, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. Amen. The prophets usually warned about judgment related to, you have pastors standing in pulpits and they constantly saying, oh, the end is coming. The Bible says no man knows. No man knows. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl knows. Amen. Amen. No man knows. Amen. So we need to be careful of the words that we're saying, especially over the pulpit. Amen. The primary location which the prophets ministered are found. Amen. In Israel, Judah, Edom, Assyria, Babylonian, and Jerusalem. Those are the locations where prophets came from, where prophets were telling, amen, the true coming of the Messiah. The Mediterranean Sea, the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. Amen. What did I say? Provinces and cities. The geographical areas would be Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Amen. Nazareth, Capernaum, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem. Amen. And the geography, amen, of the book of Acts. As we move out of the Gospels and into the book of Acts, amen, the geography expands from Palestine further into Roman Empire. The country of Galatia, located in modern-day Turkey, was the destination of the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey to take the gospel message to the Gentiles, okay? Greece, located in modern Greece, destination for Paul's missionary journey in the book of Acts. Asia, located on the western coast of modern Turkey, Asia. It was the destination of Paul's third missionary journey. Amen. Jerusalem, its location of the beginning of the early Christian church. Damascus, okay, located in modern Damascus in the modern country of Syria. It was Paul's destination when he was temporarily blinded by Jesus and converted to Christianity. To Syria. Amen. Located on the Mediterranean coast, just south of the Sea of Galilee. It's the site of all of Paul's trials. Amen. Antioch. Amen. Located on the Mediterranean coast, north of Israel, near modern Turkey. It was the beginning of point of all three of Paul's missionary journeys. Rome, the political and cultural heir of the Roman Empire. Amen. Giving an overview of those cities. Let's go see if we can go a little bit farther. We'll conclude next Tuesday. The historical books of the New Testament. Amen. Amen. The Gospels, the life of Jesus Christ is told in the Gospels, the church, the formation of the Christian church, and the mission, the expansion of the church into the Roman Empire. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll go a little bit farther. We have time. We can go a little farther. Amen. Maybe we'll play a song in between there. And let's look at the three central figures of the New Testament, then we'll play a song for you. The Gospels, the time of the Gospels, the figure, the main figure is Jesus. And we're talking about the predicted Messiah. Amen. The church era, we're talking about Peter, the leader of the early church. Missions, we're talking about Paul, the first Christian missionary. Amen. Okay. Let's look at some of the Gospels here. Okay. Early life of childhood to baptism. Let's talk about Jesus. And the main divisions in the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Through a miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is born of a Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. And after a brief excursion into Egypt to save him from Herod's attempt on his life, Jesus travels with Mary and her husband. Now picture Jesus. This is the baby Jesus, Joseph, to live in Nazareth. And there Jesus learns the trade of a carpenter and apparently lives in a fairly normal life from childhood to the time of his baptism. Then when he's 30 years old, his cousin John the Baptist is ministering and baptizing people in the River Jordan near the Dead Sea. And after Jesus is baptized by John, a remarkable event takes place. God the Father is heard speaking from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit, in a visible form of a dove, descends on him. Then he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness of Judea, where he is tempted by Satan for 40 days. And Satan makes every attempt to get Jesus to follow him rather than to follow God. But Satan offers Jesus everything. But God the Father offers him. But on a different timetable and with a different requirement, Jesus remains sinless and validates his readiness to begin making himself known as the Messiah. Amen. Amen. And that point said that Satan was offering him everything that God would offer him. But there was a catch to everything that Satan had to offer. He said, if you bow down and serve me. Amen. If. Watch that word, if. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit about the church era. Amen. The growth and organization of the church. We're in the book of Acts, 6th chapter still. Okay. The birth of the church, the birthplace of the church, is in Jerusalem. And after the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, Jesus instructs his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the rest of the world. Jesus ascends into heaven right before their eyes. And shortly after that, on the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus' disciples while they are gathered together in a house. A sound like violent rushing wind fills the place where they're sitting, and flames of fire rest on each disciple, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. They begin speaking in different foreign languages. Amen. With results that many of the Jews from different parts of the world heard them. Amen. Even though they were from Assyria, even though they were from Greece, even though they were from Rome, they were speaking in their own language. They were speaking in their language. Without being taught. This and other notable miracles associated with the birth of the church takes place in the early days as the number of converts to Christianity increases rapidly in Jerusalem. And as the number of converts increase, some measures are taken for the organization of the church, giving structure to their activities and responsibilities. Peter organizes a relief effort for needy and responsibility. For needy Christians and for the responsibility of those Christians, those who have possessions can sell them and give the money to the apostles who distribute it accordingly to the needs of the people. Then deacons are chosen to look after the material needs of the church while the apostles attend to the spiritual needs of the people. This is talking about the early church, deacons, elders, preachers, teachers. Amen. And the church has not changed. We still need to follow that order. Amen. Sell what you have and give it to the poor. And take the money and give it to the apostles. What happens to the money? Many people are asking. After the collection is taken up, where does it go? It's supposed to be given to the needy and the poor. It's supposed to be given to the needy and the poor, as instructed by God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now we're going to talk about the missions. The first missionary journey, the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey, and the trials and imprisonments. Amen. We're still in the book of Acts. The first missionary journey, Galatia for 2 years. The second missionary journey, Greece, for 3 years. The third missionary journey, Asia, for 4 years. On the third year, Paul leaves to encourage the believers from his first two trips and to spread the message of the gospel into Asia. He has great success and great opposition. In Ephesus, the whole city breaks out in a riot over his visit. Though Paul is warned that he will be in prison upon his return to Jerusalem, he returns anyway. And after being in Asia for 4 years, he's immediately arrested. You can't let anything stop you from spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ if the command comes from God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Epistles, talking about epistles. What are epistles? Amen. And we've gone through the historical structure of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. That's New Testament. The Pauline epistles to the churches would be the book of Rome, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. As Paul's writing to the church, his writing to individuals would be to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now the general instructions or letters are to the Hebrews, to James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. We're talking about the epistles in the Bible. Those are the letters to the churches, to individuals, and just in general. The nature of the epistles. Epistles, letters, are written to churches, individuals, or in some instances, to the Christian public at large. They deal with specific problems and issues of the day, but do so in a way that the information is universal and timeless. The typical pattern is to write a section of doctrinal truth and follow up with the practical implication of that truth. Doctrine, then duty. Principle, then practice. Got that? 13 of the 22 epistles of the New Testament are written by the Apostle Paul. Only 22. 9 of these letters to local churches. Amen. So as you read the description of the book, notice that the words in italics immediately following the description of each book, the description is repeated with a blank space in the place of the italic word. Fill in after each reading in that word. Amen. Amen. Ten great doctrines in the Bible. And the ten great doctrines of the Bible are the Bible, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, angels, man, sin, salvation, the church, and future things. Amen. So let's take a look at the Bible. Symbolized by a book, deals with the origin and nature of the scriptures. How do we get them? Are they reliable? Are they the word of God? Yes, yes, yes. God, symbolized by the crown of a king, deals with the first person of the Trinity. Who is he? What is he? What is he like? And what is our relationship to him? Christ, symbolized by the Lamb of God, deals with Jesus of Nazareth, the second person of the Trinity. Was he a man? Was he a God? Is he alive today? Is he coming to earth again? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is symbolized by a dove. Is he a personal being or a religious equivalent of a school spirit? Read 1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. All three are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this. We're winding down. Amen. Amen. In a scientific culture, let's take a look at something that presses on me. In a scientific culture, some people are reluctant to believe in a being they cannot see, they cannot hear, cannot smell, they cannot taste, they cannot touch. However, God cannot be dealt with in the laboratory. He must be dealt with in the courtroom. It is impossible to give generic proof of his existence. So we must look for evidence of his existence in the Bible. And while the Bible simply assumes that God exists, it also provides excellent evidence so that believing in his existence is an intellectual, reasonable thing to do. For since the creation of the world, his invisible power, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Amen. Job darkened his doorstep, and he said, can you make snow? Amen. We have a few more minutes, so we're going to wrap this up. And I think we're pretty well versed on everything that we need to know, amen, about the Bible. But how much do we know about salvation? Amen. Salvation. The Holy Spirit is an instrument of personal salvation. Amen. The Holy Spirit plays the instrumental part in personal salvation of individuals who become Christians. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to see our sinfulness and realize that we should turn from sin. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us see that in order to become Christians, we must believe in Jesus. Ask the Savior. Ask him to forgive us from our sins and give us that eternal life and commit our lives to living for him. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Amen. Any questions? God wants each of us to give. Amen. He wants each of us to use. Amen. He wants each of us to trust him, believe in him, minister to him, and minister to others. He said, what you've done to the least, you've done unto me. It is something we enjoy doing and something at which we are effective. However, since God is working through us with his gift, the results must always be attributed to God and not to ourselves. We must guard ourselves against two imbalances. We must not become discouraged if our results are meager, small, not important, not noticed. We must not become infatuated with our results. Amen. And we must not become discouraged if our results are not abundant. For in the true exercise of spiritual gifts, it is God who produces the results, whether big or small. And I notice that a lot of times, as long as things are going people's way, amen, they get distracted, discouraged, give up, amen, but your labor is not in vain. Focus on the Lord, and you'll go through, amen, what God has you to go through. Angels, we'll talk about angels the next time, amen, through the next study, and then we should be able to just close it off and maybe review some of the things, amen, amen. We'll talk about the false beliefs on how to get to heaven, amen, and the important facts about the church, amen. The church has a call, and the church is straying from that call, but that call is coming from God. I hope you learned something. I hope you jotted down some notes that you could keep and play over and over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting ready to close off in just a little bit. We've gone through quite a bit, but it's just enough to keep us focused on God. Amen. You can never have enough knowledge about the Word of God, but that was just to help you when you go through the Bible to understand how many that there are historical, there are books of poetry, and then there are books that are prophetic, prophesying what is to come. Amen. I think we're going to get ready to close off, and thank you so much again for listening to the Voice of Joy, Pastor Yolanda, on Blog Talk Radio. Beautiful day here on a Tuesday afternoon with the study of the Word. We're going to go through just a little bit with angels and belief in God and read a few scriptures and close that session off. And thank God for you listening to the Voice of Joy. Remember, the call-in number is 1-888-342-0407. And I admonish you, amen. I encourage you. I trust you'll be listening again next Tuesday to the Voice of Joy. And also Saturday afternoon at 3:30 to the Voice of Joy on Blog Talk Radio. Give me a call then, 1-888-342-0407. Keep reading the Word, keep trusting in the Lord, and keep looking for that miracle.